Fun fact, 95% of firms have industry-leading payouts if you were to poll them, and the other 5% are very competitive. So to take the time and truly sort through all of that noise to figure out who the true best of the best really are is very difficult. And a lot of recruiters probably do shortcut that process just a little bit. That oversupply, that might not be the case if there wasn't such an imbalance, right?
I'm Garrett Lale. Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast, bringing the latest industry trends and best practices to financial advisors from leaders of the top firms in the financial services industry.
Welcome back to the long overdue 19th episode of the Advisor Advocates Podcast. This particular episode has been really a long time coming. I cranked out about 18 episodes in a few months, middle to late last year, and then just sort of hit a brick wall in November as I kind of started to think through what direction I wanted to go with the show and also with the work that I did in the industry in general. So some of the undercurrents of that process are actually kind of the theme of the episode today. So I'm kind of excited to sort of unpack some of this thought process and address what I believe is one of the big challenges in the industry right now around the recruiting and mergers and acquisition side of the industry, because it's a problem for both sides of the coin. Whether you're an advisor who is searching for a new firm or thinking about a change, or you're considering maybe even selling your practice, or if you're a firm who's looking to grow inorganically through mergers and acquisitions or by recruiting new advisors to your firm, hopefully there will be some information in this episode that I think will help you better understand maybe some of the challenges you might be facing and some ways you can address it, and hopefully have a couple of solutions maybe at the end as well. There is a tremendous imbalance right now, and everybody knows this. This isn't going to be news to anybody, but there is a tremendous imbalance right now between the number of firms who are looking to grow inorganically through recruiting or acquisition and the number of advisors that are looking for a dancing partner on the other side of that. Depending on who you talk to or what stat you see, it's going to be somewhere between 20 and 50 to 1 right now. And when I first heard that number, that sounded insane to me. I didn't think that that could be true. This is back when I sold my practice 3 years ago. But I definitely found that to be true. In fact, I vetted 17 different firms when I went through that process. And at that time, I was being told it was around 20 to 1. Now I'm hearing, I heard one stat that said it was 50 to 1, 50 buyers for every one willing seller out there. And that sounds insane to me also. But through my experiences, I think that's probably pretty close to the truth. And it poses a really big problem. Typically, when you think of supply and demand imbalances, you think of that just being really good for sellers, a seller's market, so to speak, and maybe a challenge for buyers because they're going to have to really break out the checkbooks and maybe overpay if they're going to acquire a practice or acquire whatever we're talking about in that scenario. But in this case, it's actually a negative, I think, for both because, and look, this is probably the least politically correct analogy that I could possibly come up with, but it's just the best one that I can think of. Right now, if you're a financial advisor who is shopping around for a new firm, either to transition your business or to sell your business, you're sort of the equivalent of the hot blonde and it's 2 o'clock in the morning at the bar and you got 50 drunk guys trying to get your attention. And it's, hey, it's great that you've got a lot of attention, but there's so much attention that you don't have time to really sort through what the legitimate options are, who to believe and who's who really is the right fit for what they're trying to do or for the transition they're trying to go through, and which of these 50 are just blowing smoke at them. And advisors don't really have time to do that vetting process on their own. They're meeting with clients, they're prepping financial plans, placing trades and managing money for their clients. They're running their business. They don't have time to go through 50 potential suitors. And the industry really isn't currently set up in a way, I guess, that is very conducive to giving the advisor in that scenario. Advisors that are in that position just don't really have a lot of great resources of good information. And that's been a big part of my overarching mission, I suppose. And this is not a great sexy slogan or anything like that. But my goal with Advisor Advocates and this podcast and everything that I do is much more to give advisors the information that they need to make a good decision than it is to try to steer you towards a particular decision that, you know, that, that I'm trying to sell you on. I just want to get the information out to the advisors and help you know what you need to know to make the right decision for your business and for your clients. But there are a lot of challenges to that, and we'll get into that a little bit more in this episode. So advisors who are contemplating a change and they're you're at that fork in the road where you're trying to, you know, trying to figure out what your next steps are, you have three options, and one of them is a very simple one. You can always just do it yourself. You can call around, do your own homework, do your own vetting, really research the options and try to come up with the decision yourself. There are also services out there like Succession Link and things like that where you can kind of do your own shopping. So do it yourself is a really simple one that we won't spend too much time on that. But if you want to engage with someone else to help you with that decision, you really have two different types of recruiters that you can work with. And I'm going to kind of lay both of these out. And believe me, I'm not being biased towards either of the two. I'm basically laying out the challenges of both sides of the coin. So you can opt to work with an internal recruiter. These are recruiters that work for the firm that they're trying to recruit you to. There are a lot of really good internal recruiters that are out there, and they have a lot of knowledge, a very deep knowledge about the firm that they work for, obviously. They're employed by these firms. All they do is recruit advisors to those firms, so they obviously know a lot about that firm. I kind of compare them. They're a lot like wholesalers, right? I mean, most advisors have had experiences working with wholesalers, and there are a lot of excellent wholesalers that are excellent resources to help you learn more and more about their products. And I've even had, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well, some relationships with wholesalers who were also really good information sources about competitors' products. And I've even had a few that have said, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth about, you know, which direction you should go. And if my product's not the right one, I'm going to tell you that. And those are always great to have. And the internal recruiters are the exact same way. I've seen some internal recruiters who have told me maybe off the record that, hey, I'm going to tell the advisor the truth. Even if my firm isn't necessarily the right fit for them, I'm going to tell them the truth and lead them towards the best decision for them. And that's excellent. Here's the rub, though. Advisors don't know which of those people are telling the truth because everybody's going to say that, right? That's basically the same thing as saying I'm the one honest used car salesman that you can trust. Sure, everybody says it. How are you ever going to find out who's telling the truth and who's not? So advisors who are dealing with the internal recruiters, they get the advantage of getting to work with someone who has a very deep understanding of the firm that they're representing, but there's a very obvious conflict of interest there or a bias there that clearly they want you to choose their firm. Now, on the flip side of that coin, you can make an argument that that's a really good thing too, because yes, they're biased, but you know they're biased. It's right there in the open. You obviously know what they are, you know, what their best interest is. So there can be a really strong case to be made for working with internal recruiters. But if you do decide to go that route and you're working with internals, unless you pretty much already have your mind made up going into the process of maybe 2, 3, 4 firms that are in the running for your consideration, you're not really going to want to go down the path of calling 25 different internal recruiters or 25 different people in the leadership teams, depending on how big the firms are, to go through that process. I mean, you're talking, if you're doing an hour-long introductory meeting and then another hour of follow-ups with the best fits after that first call, you can easily devote a 40-hour week just to round one of vetting. And again, advisors don't have that kind of time. So as an alternative to working with an internal recruiter, a lot of advisors may decide to go through an independent third-party recruiter. And in total transparency, this is the lane that advisor advocates would fall under, right? So I'm very well-versed in this particular area. And you know, I think you'll see in this segment, I'm not necessarily trying to tout it as the best option for you. I'm just kind of laying out the challenges for you. Independent third-party recruiters are typically going to have we really kind of build our story around the quantity of relationships we have because we need to be able to represent all these different firms. And the strength of that is going to be that, hey, you can, it's a one-stop shop, right? You, whoever you're looking to meet or whatever you're looking for, an independent third-party recruiter should be able to get you in touch with them. The problem is they probably don't have the depth of the knowledge that an internal might would have. So they might be throwing darts at the board and kind of guessing with their answers. They may take a long time to kind of get back to you because they have to call around and figure out the answers to your questions. they can make introductions to the firms and their internal contacts. But again, you're kind of relying on them to narrow that 50 potential suitors down to about four or five that you really want to meet with. And here's the big challenge that I think most advisors know, but I do think I certainly didn't know it as an advisor. I didn't learn it until I got into this side of the industry. Look, financial services is littered with conflicts of interest, but the recruiting world is like the armpit of a gorilla, right? Like it's the nastiest of the nasty when it comes to conflicts of interest. Some firms may pay 10%, other firms may pay 6%. This firm may give a large bonus that the recruiter's not necessarily telling you about. They may be trying to push this firm over that firm because they're paying them a big retainer and they want to try to keep that firm on retainer. There's just so many different ways that recruiters may be a little biased, that even if they've taken that 50 and narrowed it down to the best three for you, you don't necessarily know the best option for you might have actually been one of the other 47. They just didn't tell you about it because it wasn't a good deal for them or it wasn't in the recruiter's best interest. And then adding to this problem is the fact that if recruiters would just tell the advisors, lay it all out and say, this is how much I make from firm A, this is how much I'm making from firm B, and give you the information, then we can't make every firm pay us the same amount. But if we could at least lay all of our cards on the table, you would have the information that you needed to make that decision for yourself. The problem is, this is a systemic problem. Recruiters will have agreements that they have to sign with all these firms. And typically the firms are the ones who dictate the terms of those agreements. And some of them are very restrictive and they don't allow the amount of transparency that a recruiter might even want to have in the way that they interact with the advisor. So it really is a systemic problem. And it's really difficult for advisors to know if they're being fed the right information or not. Now, firms have the exact same challenge. I think if there's two themes of this show, hopefully one of them is transparency, but I think the other one's going to be symmetry. I think for every challenge that an advisor has, there's a firm on the flip side who's having a different version of the same challenge. The complaint that I hear most often from advisors is really simple. They don't trust recruiters. That one's a really easy one. But the flip side of that coin is when I talk to firms, the complaint or the challenge that I am constantly hearing from them is we just can't figure out a way to get our story out there. And it kind of goes back to the 2 a.m. at the bar analogy. Even if you are the one out of 50 who is the best fit to speak with this person who should be giving you the attention, they don't know that. And it's really hard for you to, you know, help yourself sort of stand out above the crowd. So if you are a firm who's looking to get that story out there a little bit more, right now you have two choices, or I guess the same three. You can do it yourself, have your leadership team do your own recruiting and do your own networking to try to find advisors, or you can hire an internal recruiter and pay them a salary and give them benefits and all these things, and they can go out sort of hunting for opportunities for you. But again, when they do find an advisor, that advisor is going to know that they're a little bit limited in their options and they're going to know that they're biased and they may not necessarily want to do that. And I know a lot of firms who have hired internal recruiters and they've struggled with it because it's really difficult to find one of advisor who is interested in having a conversation with you. And then for that advisor to be interested in the one firm that you can represent is even harder. So I've been approached about taking jobs as internal recruiters, and it always scares the heck out of me to try to take that on, because it's hard enough to find one advisor when you've got 50 people knocking their door down, when you do have a lot of different relationships that you can, or a lot of different directions that you can point them. So that's a big challenge for the internals. But the strength of that is you know that you have one person dedicated, or a team of people if you're a larger firm, who is totally dedicated to finding leads just for you. You don't have to worry about, you know, are they sending you the leads or are they kicking them to somebody else because somebody else pays more? You know that the person that you're hiring for that position is totally dedicated to your growth. They're compensated largely off of their success in bringing recruits to the table, and you at least have that peace of mind. But if you decide to go the third party route, that sort of has two different paths that it can take. And both of them, again, have their own sets of problems. I hope you're starting to notice a theme here. But there are third party recruiters that will charge a retainer, which is in theory, going to get you sort of to the top of the list of their priorities, because since you're getting that guaranteed income as a recruiter, you're going to want to try to keep that guaranteed income coming in, keep those firms fed, so to speak, and try to make sure that you're able to keep that recurring revenue coming in. The rub with that is you don't know going into it if it's going to be worth the spend. And I've talked to so many firms who have had bad experiences working with third-party recruiters on a retainer where they've dumped thousands and thousands of dollars in month after month for, you know, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, and they've seen nothing in return for it. Now, retainers are going to really range all over the board in terms of how much you could pay, but they are typically going to be cheaper than hiring your own internal recruiter and paying them a salary and benefits and all that type of stuff. And in theory, again, you're going to get a little bit more attention from that firm if you are paying a retainer, but you don't necessarily know going into it if it's going to be successful. So a lot of firms, and I get this a lot, they don't want to pay anything, but they come to you and say, you know, I'm happy to pay you a success fee or a transaction fee if you do find leads for me. And anytime I will get a call from a firm that says, hey, we'd really, you know, we have a really good story. We're looking for somebody. It seems like you're someone who we should, you know, connect with, who could do some recruiting for us. We would, you know, love to have you keep us in mind for your searches. And when you find an advisor, we are more than happy to pay you a success fee or a commission. Well, that's great. The problem is that I don't say it quite this rudely in real life, but I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, join the club. Everybody wants that. So from my seat as the independent recruiter, if I just send an email out to, you know, 20,000 firms or however many there are out there and said, hey, Advisor Advocates, I'm a recruiting resource for you. If you're interested in advisors, here's my calendar link. Let's set up some time to chat. Let me learn more about you and who you're looking for and how I can help find you more leads. I would probably not get a vacation day for 6 months. My calendar would be that full with people who are interested in talking to me and telling me about their story and trying to tell me why they should be at the top of the list. And with all that time that I spent learning the stories, what time do I have to go out and find advisors? Even if I did, you know, sit down and take a 30-minute call or a 1-hour call with all of the firms who were interested in me keeping them in mind, it wouldn't necessarily do me a whole lot of good because I'm going to hear the same story over and over again. We have great industry-leading payouts, a great tech stack, great marketing, and we have an excellent firm culture. Fun fact that 95% of firms have industry-leading payouts if you were to poll them, and the other 5% are very competitive. So to take the time and truly sort through all of that noise to figure out who the true best of the best really are is very difficult, and a lot of recruiters probably do shortcut that process just a little bit in the interest of time. So that oversupply, that might not be the case if there wasn't such an imbalance, right? If this were closer to a 50-50 balance of supply and demand, then yes, I may be sitting on 6 or 7 advisors over here that I need to find a firm for. And it's great to know who is out there that's willing to take on the other side of that trade, right? But when it's so heavily tilted in one direction, yeah, I don't have time to meet with every single firm who's interested in recruiting or interested in acquiring a book, because everybody is interested in the book at this point. And here's a true story to back this up. Okay. I had an advisor that I was working with towards the end of last year, and they had a very, very specific niche firm that they were trying to look for. And they had a lot of demands, and it was too restrictive for me to just, you know, pick up the phone and call my contacts at the firms that I have relationships with and see if they were, you know, were a good fit. I kind of tried that, very quickly kind of struck out. So I got to a point where I had to sort of send a blast email out to all of the firms who met this advisor's criteria. Now, mind you, I have already probably taken that 50 potential suitors and narrowed it down to, you know, no more than 10, just based on the restrictions that I put on the filters before I sent the email blast out. But even with that, when I sent out the email, sort of a, call it an indication of interest round is sort of what this is like, to steal an investment banking term. I send this email out to see who's interested. I got like 30 to 40 responses back within 2 or 3 days. So I actually had to go back and send a second follow-up email to those 30 or 40 respondents to say, hey, look, I really appreciate your interest, but I need to kind of add another layer of vetting here because I don't have time to schedule, you know, 30-minute to 60-minute introduction calls with all of these firms over the next couple of weeks. So I had them fill out a form message and kind of tightened up the search criteria a little bit, talked with the advisor and had them kind of give me some feedback on, how can we narrow the search down a little bit more, and then sent a follow-up email to those firms that said, hey, please provide this information, and, we're going to kind of do another round of vetting before we take calls. And then I took that process and sort of narrowed it down to maybe 10, and then went back and had one-on-one calls with those 10 firms and finally narrowed it down to maybe two or three or four that I thought the advisor should actually speak with. So it would be impossible for me to do a good job and a thorough job for the advisors if I took the time to get to know every single firm at the level that I need to understand them to be able to speak intelligently about their value proposition and to know who to recommend. There's no way. There's just not enough hours in the day. So there is the problem. Now, it does not pay a whole lot to present problems. It pays to present solutions. So I'm going to take a few minutes here as we kind of wrap up the show to propose, I guess, my best solution. I'm sure it's not perfect, but it's the best one that I've thought of to try to be as transparent as I can be and as fair as I can be to both sides of the coin, give firms opportunities to get their story out there, and offer, as impartial as possible of a vetting service and process for advisors. If you are a firm who's interested in getting your story out there, one of the really cool things about doing the show last year was it was a great conversation starter. When I started doing the Advisor Advocates podcast, I really didn't know what the goal was other than to just kind of hit record and start sharing what I knew with advisors and firms. And I'm involved in half a dozen or so podcasts in some way or another, and I did not expect this one to be necessarily that successful, but it absolutely, not even close, it leads the way in subscribers, regular downloads, listens, and it has created dozens of conversations for me with advisors who have been interested in learning more about something that we talked about on the podcast. So the problem is I hate doing these one-man shows. You have no idea how awkward and weird it is to sit here in a room by yourself and just talk to a phone. This is my second take, actually, on this entire episode, because when I went to edit the first attempt, it was horrible. So I hate doing it by myself, and the best shows that I've had have definitely been the ones where I've had guests on to share your perspective on the industry and to share your unique experiences. There's so much more to learn from other people than there is me just getting on here and sharing my limited view of the world. So I am looking for firms to join me on the Advisor Advocates podcast as contributing partners to be part of a regular rotation of guest co-hosts to come on and tell your story for sure. We'll do a feature episode to kind of introduce you as a contributing partner and help you, really kind of tell your story and, kind of show off your firm's value proposition and what you have to offer advisors. But the recurring roles and coming on a regular basis is really more to share your perspective, best practices, how your advisors and teams are growing their practices. Those have been the episodes that have been much more popular on the show. Obviously, nobody likes to be sold, least of all financial advisors. So the value add episodes have been by far the most popular. And since you will be coming on a regular basis, hopefully the idea behind this is to give you an opportunity to build rapport with the advisor community and help them better get to know the personalities behind the firm as well as the story. So that's sort of the direction I'd like to go with this, to try to help you get those stories out there and get more eyeballs on your firm and your leadership team. Now, in full disclosure, again, the theme of this episode is transparency. I hope as much as anything else, I'm not doing it for free, because if I did put this out there and say, hey, I'm just looking for firms to come on as guests, I would have more episodes a day than SportsCenter, and I wouldn't be making any money whatsoever. So I am asking for contributing partners to invest a reasonable amount into the production and promotion of the shows. That's the other reason. If I did produce 500 episodes with no money, it'd be great shows, but nobody would ever hear them. So part of that investment on your part does go to getting it out to more advisors and making sure advisors can find us. I'm looking for, 5, 10, 15 contributing partners, no more than 20, because that would be an episode a day. So somewhere in that range is kind of what I'm looking for the panel, if you will. And from the advisor's perspective, this does not mean that if you come to me to find a firm for you that I'm limited to just working with these contributing partners. But what it does mean is you've got 100% transparency on that, because if you want to know, who my quote unquote cronies are, just watch the podcast and you'll see exactly who my contributing partners are. And I'll tell you as straight up as I possibly can, yes, of course, I'm going to be slightly biased in the sense that they're going to be maybe the first ones who come to mind when I speak with an advisor. That's really just because I'm building relationships with them. I know them. I know their stories better. So it's going to be more natural for them to come to mind first. However, if you are looking for a firm, I'm not restricted to them. And I do everything that I can to level the playing field, so to speak. All of my contributing partners are on the same agreement as far as what the successful transaction or referral fee is. But if you are an advisor who that's just not the right fit, and that's going to be the case a lot of times, and typically even the partner firms do understand that they're not the right fit for everyone and they're not going to get opportunities for every single person that I speak with, I will conduct that same vetting process that I described a little bit earlier on. I will do the same, you know, for any advisor who wants to sit down and do that. You know, it's always going to start with just a conversation and tell me about your practice, what you're looking to do, what your goals are. And then if it ends up leading to me needing to go out and, you know, sort of call around town, so to speak, then I will, you know, go through that process and try to whittle that down to the three or four for your consideration and make those introductions. So that is my proposed solution to bridge the gap between the firms that are out there looking for advisors and the advisors who are looking to get accurate information. I don't like the way the industry exists today. I don't like the way the recruiting space operates. I'm sure that's not the perfect solution to the problem, but it is the only solution that I've come up with that I feel is honest and transparent. And really, again, I want to reiterate something I said earlier. My goal is not to steer an advisor in a particular direction. And I've been trying to figure out with this business how to convey that and how to prove that. It's a really hard thing to prove. What I want to do is give advisors the information that you need to make the best decision. Advisors are very smart. You're operating successful businesses. You don't need someone to tell you what to do. You just need good information to be able to make the right decision. And that's what I'm hoping to be able to do with this. So if you are a firm who is interested in meeting more advisors and telling your story, I'd love to chat with you about joining as a contributing partner. Or if you are an advisor who wants to know a little bit more about what the search process looks like and how exactly I can help you find the right firm, I would love to chat, you know, whichever side of the coin you're on. Feel free to shoot me a text, give me a call, email me, schedule a time on my calendar, link. All of this stuff is going to be in the description below, whether you're listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube or you're on the website right now. Whatever screen you're looking at, my phone number, email address, and calendar link are not very far away from wherever you're looking right now. So I'd love to chat with you. I do always say if you're going to give me a call, I would encourage you to text me first, because I'm like everybody else, I get a lot of spam calls, so I don't typically answer calls from numbers I don't recognize. So either shoot me a text or email me ahead of time and let me know, you know, what number to look out for. But encourage you to reach out if I can't help. If you've listened this far, I really appreciate your time. I know that there's a lot of different things you could have spent the last 25 or 30 minutes doing, so I do appreciate your time. And I hope you have a great day. Talk to you soon. Thank you for watching or listening to the Advisor Advocates podcast. Really appreciate it. If I can't help you in any way, please feel free to give me a call at 919-561-2436 or send me an email at garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com or feel free to use my calendar link, which will be listed in the description below. Thanks again for your time. See you next time.